I'm happy to be back at Gita Nagari, your very beautiful community here in the woods, out in the country, in the outback. I think the last time I was here was in the early 80s, or maybe even earlier than that, I don't remember. Sometime after taking sannyas, I came here. I took sannyas in 79, so a couple of years later I came here. And of course, this beautiful temple room was not here. When did you build this beautiful building? 2000. Was it built by our own devotees, or we? Yeah. Great. Gorgeous. Lots of wood. I like the wooden floors, and there's lots of light here as well. And the altar is very simple but elegant. And you have lots of peacocks. And you've got very historic deities, of course. Whenever I see these deities, I always remember Vishnujan Maharaj. On my way to Europe, to London and then on to France, we were fortunate to fly with Srila Prabhupada from London to New York, and then from New York to London, and then on to Paris. We stopped at the Henry Street Temple in New York, and Prabhupada was visiting there, and Vishnujan Maharaj was there. And he took these deities out on Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of New York. I mean, we had big palanquin, and there were four big muscular boys. We carried them right downtown, these deities, in their full glory and in beautiful outfits, and incense billowing nearby, and chamara fans and peacock fans. And Maharaj was leading this amazing kirtan, and people were just stunned, and they'd stop and look, and some people were throwing money and, like bowing their heads, and Radha and Krishna were just penetrating into the darkness of ignorance of Kali Yuga. And I remember we stopped and we had artik for Radha Damodar right in the middle of the downtown New York. And now they're very beautifully, very regally residing here. This evening we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. It looks like text 11. Ye yata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante Manushya Partha Sarvashaha. Translation, all of them are as all surrender unto me. I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Purport, everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence, and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. For Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world, also Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in that transcendental attitude, just as a devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. So, of course, this is a very well-known, famous, and often quoted verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna states essentially that all of them, as they surrender to me, he rewards them accordingly. And in Prabhupada's purport, we hear how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. Actually, one time Srila Prabhupada said that the Lord is more eager that we come back to the spiritual world than we are to return to the spiritual world. And he's always ready, of course, to give himself fully to his devotees. Nevertheless, he states in this verse that his loving reciprocation is in proportion to our surrender. If a devotee is only 25% surrendered to Krishna, the Lord gives 25% of his love to the devotee. There's different stages of Krishna consciousness in which the Lord reciprocates proportionately. The path of devotional service is very nicely outlined in our shastras. Ado shuddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya anarte vriti siyat. This is the first stage where we come into the association of the devotees by chance or good fortune, and we develop some faith in their association, meaning that we would also like to give up material life and embrace Krishna consciousness. So we begin to practice bhajana kriya. It means the rules and regulations. And by practicing Krishna consciousness strictly under the guidance of a spiritual master, cheto dharpana marjanam, the heart becomes clean. And in that clean heart, which is freed from all nasty desires like lust and anger and greed, the pure seed of devotion, the bhakti lata bij, it can grow very nicely. Just like here in Pennsylvania, as we're driving through the countryside on the way to your beautiful farm community, I notice the soil here is very rich. It's very dark and rich. And, of course, Pennsylvania is famous for its farms, for your growing. And now you're coming into the growing season. Spring has sprung. And you'll plant, and in the summer, in the autumn, you'll harvest the crops and the vegetables and the fruits like that. So it's very good soil for planting the seed and reaping the results. So when the heart is clean of all the anarthas, the unwanted things like lust and anger and greed, then the pure seed of bhakti, a seed of devotion which is eternally there in the heart of every living entity, it can begin to grow very nicely. And as we advance from shraddha to prema, from the initial stage of a little faith, some curiosity, to the stage of, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more, and tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, I'm feeling all vacant in the world of, in your absence. Krishna reciprocates accordingly at each stage of devotion. We can't see him in the beginning. Of course, we can see him by his mercy in his archivigraha form. He's so kind that he appears in so-called matter. He's still Krishna, but when the senses are purified and we awaken the senses of our spiritual body, our siddha deha, we have our original form, then premanjani charati bhakti vilochanena, then we see Krishna just like you see me sitting here. You can see Krishna standing before you in his tribhanga shundhara, his threefold bending form, with his long black flowing hair, his lotus eyes, his lips red like the bimba fruit, his teeth set like rows of pearls, three lines in his neck, a little roll on his tummy, you know, a little, his deep navel, his Vajrayanti garland, five kinds of flowers extended down to his knees. This you see, Premanjani Shruti Bhakti Vilochanena, when the heart is completely pure and love. So then, if you're 100% surrendered, then you can, Krishna will give himself 100% to you. If we really want 100% of Krishna's love, we have to work on giving 100% of our love to the Lord. We often hear about devotees in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, whom the Lord reciprocates in such an intimate, loving way. And we think, oh, I'd also like to be like that. After the battle of for Lanka between Ravana and Ram, of course, Ram won. He killed the great Asura with an arrow through his chest. He fell down dead, sent to the abode of Yamaraj. Then Lord assembled his monkey warriors, his bear warriors, his servants, his devotees, and he was so happy with Hanumanji. You know how Hanuman is such a surrendered servant of the Lord. He practically single-handedly almost rescued Sita. At least he burned down the capital city of Lanka and fought the soldiers and chastised Ravana. Ram's going to come, he said, and rescue his beloved consort. So he sacrificed so much that at the end of the battle, Ram called him forward and said, Hanuman, what can I give you in reciprocation for all the service you've done? And Hanuman has that dasya relationship because Ayodhya's in Vaikuntha, so the mood of Vaikuntha is a little different than Goloka, the topmost planet, Vrindavan. It's Aishwarya Bhav, a mood of awe and reverence. So Hanuman has that type of relationship. So he said, Lord, could you give me a hug? This is all he wanted, was a hug. And that hug, a Vaishnava would consider that hug of the Lord more valuable than all the opulence of the three worlds put together. You put all the opulence, bhur, bhuva, svaha, of the this material creation, on one side of the scale, and you put a hug of the Lord, an embrace of the Lord on the other side, and it will far outweigh all the value of that opulence. And it's a famous picture, God. In the West, they think God is all great, he's all powerful, he's there for judgment day. But in our Gaudiya Vaishnav understanding, he reciprocates in an intimate, loving way. So that dasya, sometimes the master puts his hand on the head of the servant, or maybe he'll reward him, he'll even embrace him. Hanuman, I'd like to be like Hanuman. You? Then you have to be surrendered as Hanuman. It's nothing sentimental. This is real devotion, and you have to work on it. The Brahma Samhita says we make advancement in small increments. That means like little steps forward. It's a long process. Or what about when Krishna came and he wanted some fruits from the lady who her fruit basket was in Vrindavan? So he came and she said, "You're so cute. You're such a darling, you're so enchanting, little boy. You take whatever you want." So to reciprocate with her offering, Krishna turned all the fruits into jewels. How much money do you make by selling fruits on the street corner in any village in India? A few paise. But when she looked down after making that offering to Krishna, her whole fruit basket was full of jewels. Oh, I'd like to be that type of devotee, Krishna would reciprocate. Or the coward boys, they were rescued from the belly of Agasura. His belly was very smelly. When he would breathe Agasura, his breath smelled like fish, old fish. He didn't chew any gum to make his breath fresh. He'd breathe. Agasura, he'd knock you over, you go unconscious. And the cowherd boys, they went into the belly of Agasura and they were playing in his tummy. And he was about to like just gobble them up, finished. But Krishna, what did he do? He jumped into the belly of Agasura and he expanded himself, shh, like a balloon. And Agasura got so big he popped. No more Agasura. Oh, I'd like Krishna to rescue me. Rake Krishna Marike Mare Krishna Rakike. If you're fully surrendered, Atmanivedanam, the culmination of the nine processes of devotional service. Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. And if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. This is a level of very full surrender. So if we want that type of attention, we have to have the same love as Hanuman, the same love as the lady with the fruits, the same love as the cowherd boy, same love as the gopis. And when we're fully surrendered, then we can have that relationship with Krishna. Not once, but every day. For what? For eternity. And actually that's the case in Vrindavan. There's every devotee has an eternal, intimate, loving relationship with Krishna, day in and day out, for now through eternity. Different, that's rasa. Rasa means loving exchanges. And there's different places where Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in different moods. He doesn't mix it all up. In the village of Vrindavan, that's where he associates with his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, and elderly gopis, because that Vatsalya Ras, it means that you want Krishna as your child, but of course, we can't become Mother Yashoda or Nanda Baba. But the elderly gopis, they have that same mood of Krishna. They want to nurse Krishna or babysit, take care of Krishna. Like that, it's an affection work for children like that, Krishna as the child. So that all takes place in the village of Vrindavan. And then the cowherd boys, they have a relationship, as a friendship with Krishna. So that takes place not in Vrindavan, but you know, boys will be boys, frogs and snails and puppy dog tails, right? Girls are sugar and spice and everything nice, but frogs and snails and puppy dog tails, that's out in the country, like your little boys here, when they want to play, they go in the forest. They don't stay home. Well, now they do. They play video games, but that's all artificial. But you have the kids, they have boys, you let them go in the forest and play by them. So that's where Krishna associates with the cowherd boys. And the cowherd girls, well, they have some special meeting places with Krishna. It's all kind of arranged by the elderly cowherd boys. They're like clued into these things. So, you know, Krishna, he'll meet with Radharani at Tirukadamba. That's with the Goshal of Nanda Maharaja. That's their first meeting place. After she comes back cooking for Krishna at Nandagram, she's going back to Yavat. So then she meets Krishna there. It's kind of on the side of the forest. And then at noontime, Krishna sneaks away from the forest of the cowherd boys, and he goes to meet Radharani at Radhakund. And then in the evening, they meet at Vrindakund, like this. So it's not all mixed up. There's different, because the mood is different, then the places are not mixed like that. And when Krishna goes to the forest of the cowherd boys, all the residents of the village, the elderly cowherd men and women, they're feeling so much separation. It's like one moment away from Krishna is like 12 years. That's how intense the love is. Because the love is so intense, the separation is equal. If you're very attached to something and you lose it, then your feeling of separation is equal to your attachment of that object. So you just imagine the residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna more than anyone's ever been loved before. And if they lose his association, even for a moment, he's just going out to herd the cows, they all fall apart. They cry all day. And then when Krishna comes home from the forest in the evening, that's the festival of Braj. It says in Brahma Samhita that in Vrindavan, every step is a dance. Every word is a song, and it's a festival every day. What is the festival? The festival is when Krishna comes back from herding the cows. All the residents of Vrindavan, they go to the edge of the village to receive him. The whole town, whatever they're doing, they stop and they go to the edge, just like you greeted me when I came. And then we all came in the temple room. Every day they greet Krishna like that. So nice, Vrindavan. The mood of Sambhog, which means union, and Vipralamba, Bhav, separation. Just Sambhog, Vipralamba. This is like, it's just diving and surfing in the nectar of the ocean of devotion. Like that. So, and because the moods are different, the places are different. You can't mix the moods so much. Like when Prabhupada came to Paris one time, we had our altar set up, and we had, what do we have? We had Jagannath and Subhadra and Balaram, then we had Radha and Krishna. So Balaram was near Radha. Like that. Prabhupada came in, he saw the arrangement, he became very angry. He said, why is there no separation between Radharani and Balaram? Radharani would become very embarrassed because she's associating with the younger brother, and the older brother is there, so she's feeling very uncomfortable. And we were like, you know, all new devotees is completely bewildering, like, what's Prabhupada talking about? But he was talking about the deeper humor, the deeper rasa of Krishna consciousness. These are the intricacies of, these are the things that we want to come to study one day. The Goswamis have given these teachings. And Prabhupada has given it there also, Nectar of Devotion. He said, you can't have Balaram and Radharani so close together. It's not proper. He's the elder brother, and she's very close to the younger brother. So there has to be some separation. So the next morning we put up this, sliding bamboo, like a division, right? Bamboo, and Prabhupada said that's very good. And to this day, there's still a barrier between Balaram and Radharani. So you can't mix the moods. In Chaitanya Lila, there's another instructive pastime in that way that, Jagadananda Pandit. There's some very nice pastimes between Jagadananda Pandit and Lord Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Jagadananda Pandit, he kind of argues with Lord Chaitanya. They have kind of like a little spat, and then he pouts and he goes away, and then Lord Chaitanya says, I'm sorry, and then he asks Jagadananda Pandit to cook again. So Jagadananda Pandit, in Chaitanya Leela, he is, in Krishna Leela, he's a Satyabhama, one of the chief queens in Dwarka. So that mood is very, you know, the husband and wife, you know, henpecked husband and little spats and things like that. So that mood is carried over in Gaur-lila. As Jagannanda Pandit, he has the same mood of with Krishna, but with Lord Chaitanya. And they argue, and, you know, he pouts, and the Mahaprabhu comes, and that's, I'm sorry, you know, cook, and like that. So one time, Jagannanda Pandit, he was just so frustrated, he just wanted to get away from Puri. So he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu refused. Now, you cannot, you'll not understand the mood of the Brajabasis. Because the mood of Dwarka, where Satyabhama is, and the mood of Vrindavan, where the gopis are, it's very much different. There's the queens, and it's kind of a formal relationship with the husband. And in Vrindavan, you have the gopis, and it's very intimate and loving. Paramour, it's a whole different thing. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, I don't think you should go to Vrindavan. You won't fit in there. No, I want to go. I want to go. So finally, after he insisted a long time, then Lord Chaitanya said, oh, you can go. He said, but don't associate too intimately with the Brajabasis, because you'll misunderstand them and you may make offenses. You just associate with Sanatan Goswami. He'll take care of you. So Jagannanda Pandit went to Vrindavan, and he lived in a cave underground. It was hot season, so they go underground because it's cooler. And he spent the whole time there with Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami didn't let him associate with all the devotees. A place for everything in its place. So there's these different moods and different places. But there are some times when you know, everyone gets together under one roof. There are some special moments like that. For example, like during Govardhan Leela. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, he did that to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and he wanted to diminish the pride of Indra. By doing one thing, the Lord does many things. But perhaps for those, for the Brajabasis or the followers of the residents of Vrindavan, which we're actually meant to be because we're followers of Lord Chaitanya, that's his mood. This pastime of Govardhan Hill, it gave the opportunity for everyone, irregardless of their mood or their place of associating with Krishna, the village, the pasture, the kunda, it gave them an opportunity to all come together under one roof for 7 days. They were all, Prabhupada said, packed up tight. Like sometimes in our temples, the brahmachari ashram, all the brahmacharis are 1, 2, 3. Packed up tight, Prabhupada would say. So in Vrindavan, this is why this Govardhan Leela, another very special quality of Govardhan Leela, is that everybody is like all together. And all the moods are there. It's like just a pot of just boiling the nectar in all these various moods for 7 days. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments that the gopis, they were especially pleased because it was the first time these young girls were able to be so close to Krishna. Previous to the lifting of Govardhan Hill, their mood was what Goswamis describe as a purva rag. Purva rag means the pastimes building up to the meeting. You know, Krishna's a boy and there are girls and, you know, neither of them are married yet. And in Vedic culture, boys and girls just didn't associate. Even today, at least in South India, you see on the way to school, there's all the girls on one side and all the boys. Now in, you know, Bombay, it's different. It's because of Bollywood. It's very unfortunate. There was no mixing. So it was in Vrindavan, it was like that. So the little girls, you know, they're all like 12, 13, like that, 14 maximum. So, but, you know, there's this deep loving sentiments between Krishna and the gopis. So the pastimes that, like, there would be like sidelong glances. Krishna would come back from the forest on the way to Nanda Jasoda's house, and then he'd see the gopis, and the gopis would look at him like that. And there'd be smiles, and sometimes there'd be letters passed between the two by either the gopis or some of the elderly cowherd boys like that. So that's Purva Rag. But when the Govardhan Hill was there, they were all very close, packed up tight. And Krishna was like looking at his beloved gopis. And it mentions in Krishna book that he was looking at the breasts of the gopis, and Balaram saw Krishna glancing like that. Balaram was laughing, actually, that the cowherd boys were holding up, the elderly men were holding up the hill with their sticks like that, and he was laughing. He was thinking, these cowherd men think they're holding up the hill? Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was laughing. But Krishna thought, oh, he's laughing at me because I'm staring at the gopis, and he blushed like that. This is right out of Krishna book. These are a little confidential, but Prabhupada did write that in the Krishna book. And if you get these things in small doses, it's okay, because we're not so pure yet that we can go very deep into the subject matter. But we should know the Siddhanta, and we should know some of the pastimes, and Prabhupada actually says that hearing these things in a regulated way, under the guidance of the spiritual master, he said, even hearing these loving pastimes, this decreases material lust in the heart. It doesn't have the opposite effect. By hearing, Prabhupada said, the rasa dance, for example, as explained by Prabhupada and our Goswami, the effect is that the lust in your heart decreases. So it's discussed. So someone asked the question one time that, how did everyone fit under the hill? Because in Vrindavan, there's so many devotees. How did they all fit? Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti said that the answer is that Govardhan Hill felt so much ecstasy being held up by Krishna, as well as serving the Lord's devotees, that he expanded in size. Anyway, so Krishna will reciprocate with us however we want within those five rasas of devotional service. And, you know, there's neutrality, there's servitorship, there's friendship, there's parentalhood, and there's the Madhurya Ras. There's different rasas. And, of course, we know that the gopis, that's the highest, but we should never think that any devotee's love for Krishna is anything inferior. All the rasas, the relationship with Krishna, make him very happy. Just like you may have a very lovable wife, but what would life be without your loving parents being part of your life, your loving children, your friends? It's a complete picture. So it's true that the gopis' love is, but it's not that the cowherd boys and the elderly gopis like and the cows and the trees are any less dear to Krishna. And certainly the devotees, they wouldn't change their relationship with Krishna for anything. Those cowherd boys would never become girls. Oh, those girls. The cowherd boys would never become girls. That's how they're thinking. Huh? So it's all perfect and complete. It's the spice. Variety is the spice of life. And anyone, Prabhupada said one time, anyone who thinks the love of Mother Yashoda is inferior to the love of Radharani, he's an aparadhi. And in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is a very important book, all devotees should study this book very carefully. Prabhupada mentions that in Bhagavatam. And the BBT, a couple years ago, they came out with Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is an in-depth study of the science of Krishna consciousness, the loving mellows of Krishna consciousness. It was the first book written by the Goswamis. Sanatana Goswami, that was his favorite book. And he wrote Tika, he wrote a commentary on the verses that he wrote. He wrote the book, then he wrote a purport. And he was very attached to the Bhagavatam. When he was a boy, I think 7 years old, he had a dream that someone came to the door, a brahmana, and gave him a Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he woke up from his dream in the morning and he heard a knock on the door. And he went to the door and there was a brahmana with a Bhagavatam. His dream came true. When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. This is the real star of good fortune, Krishna consciousness. He got the Bhagavatam. So attached to that book. And even when he was the prime minister in the government of Hussein Shah, and then he quit and he went to stay at his house. What did he do? He studied Bhagavatam with a council of brahmanas. We should also study the Bhagavatam. This is the nectar. And the essence of that nectar is given in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's three volumes. We should know it backwards and forwards. And there is described the nature of Mother Yashoda's love. It says, Nemam virincho nabhavo nashir ap yanga samshraya pasharam libire gopi yattat prapya vimuktitat. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Just an exalted devotee. So anyway, in conclusion, however we surrender to Krishna, yeah, he will reciprocate accordingly. Of course, it's not that you just decide, well, I think I'd like to be a cow. No, I'd like to be a cowherd boy. It's not like that. The loving mellow that we have is eternally there within our hearts. It's not something new that you get from outside or you obtain. Your loving sentiments for Krishna, which will be naturally aroused at some later stage in Krishna consciousness, it's already decided. It's already decided. And at certain, a very advanced stage, you'll be attracted to a particular resident of Vrindavan and want to follow in their footsteps under the guidance of your spiritual master. And the Lord will naturally reciprocate. That's true even with his abodes. As you surrender to his abode, like Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri, how you surrender that abode, which is not different than him, it will reciprocate accordingly with you. Actually, the abode of the Lord is an expansion of Balaram. Balaram serves the Lord in many ways. He expands as his bed, as his shoes, as his slippers, as his sitting place, as the dom. The dom is actually an expansion of Balaram to facilitate his little brother's pastimes. So it's non-different than God. It's quite esoteric, but there it is. And the dom reciprocates with your desires as well. That's also in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Trivarga dha kaminam ya mumukshanam cha moksha dha bhakti chor bhakti da kashtam mathuram nashayet buddha. Very beautiful verse. To those who have material desires, Mathura gives the three aims of human work: religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. To those who want liberation, Mathura grants liberation. And to those rare souls who want pure devotion, Mathura gives pure devotion. What intelligent person, therefore, would not take shelter of Mathura? Whatever you want, Mathura will give you. Even if you're so foolish as to want material sense gratification, Mathura will deliver it. And you get tired of it, and you'll ask for something better, like Dhruva. If you want liberation, okay. And to those rare souls who know the priceless jewel of bhakti, of giving everything to Krishna, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham va jagadisha kamae mama janmani janmani isha bhavatat bhakti ahaitikitoi. Oh, Krishna gives his very self. Like Prabhupada said one time in class. This movement's so nice, we're giving Krishna. He said, here's Krishna, take him. Oh. He who cannot be achieved for lifetimes of penance and austerities by mystic powers, by knowledge, he's given by his devotee. Here he is, take him. Bhakti is so wonderful. And Krishna is able to reciprocate with everyone's love. This is God. In the material world, a man can reciprocate with the love of his immediate family, or maybe the people of his village, or maybe he's a humanitarian, and he can, you know, help people all over the world, but can't help people all over the universe, all over the cosmos, in both the material and spiritual world. But Krishna can reciprocate with the loving sentiments of every single living entity to their full satisfaction. Santushti. Santushti means when you're fully satisfied. Or like Savai Pumsham Pada Dharmo Yatta Bhaktur Dhoksaji Haitakriya Patiyata Yayatmashu Prasiditi. Yayatmashu Prasiditi means that through bhakti, unmotivated, uninterrupted service, you have no asochatina kanchi, no hankering, lamenting. Sir, I am satisfied. I have nothing more to desire. So when death comes, all right, let's go. No problem. Let's go. I have no desires left in this world. I'm ready to go. Let's get out of here. Let's get out. Let's leave this place. So nice. Krishna consciousness. In due course of time, all your desires, you don't even know what you want, actually. We're so fallen, we don't even know what we want. We have to ask the spiritual master, like, what do I really want? You want Krishna? I do? Yes. In the material world, one's desires may or may not be fulfilled. It's risky business. We have so many desires. Certainly not all your desires are going to be fulfilled. Some, yes, and most not. But if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, every desire you have in relation to Krishna, yayatmashu prasiddhi. And there's desire trees all over the place. Desire tree means a tree, you can ask anything from that tree to serve Krishna. And if it gives fruits, it'll also give vegetables. It'll also give wood for the sacrifice. It'll also give a turban. It's a desire tree. Whatever you need, you don't have to waste time working to get it and then give it. You go, tree, I want a golden spoon. I want some kheer. I want a nice turban. Now go and serve Krishna. It doesn't matter if you're a gopi, you're a cowherd boy, a tree, a cow, you are happy. Just consider how happy are the cows. Here you have cows. We saw your cows. They look like really old cows. They look like our generation. The Prabhupada disciples, we're like old cows and bulls now, you know. They're going to put us out to pasture pretty soon. Just consider, there are cows in the spiritual world. How much Krishna loves those cows? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. He loves cows and brahmanas. Because brahmanas are preaching the absolute truth, and cows are giving milk, and from milk you get yogurt, ghee, butter, and ice cream. And when it comes time to go to the forest, Krishna doesn't go with the Brahmins. He goes with the cows. So he spends most of the day with the cows. And here you have some of those cows. These cows that you have here, Prabhupada said, they're cousins. Cousins are quite close, huh? Kissing cousins. These cows that you have here are more dear to Krishna than his very life. If you take care of these cows, you're pleasing Krishna. Love me, love my dog. All you do is just make sure these cows are getting enough to eat and they're well brushed and they're happy and they're warm and they're cool in the summer. That's all you have to do. Because he loves them so much. Oh, they're old cows. Hey, your mother's old? You just like forget her, put her in a rest home? No, in India you bring her more into the home, extended family. These cows are very important. We shouldn't think of them in a mundane way. Vishnav Thakavati Thakur, he said that these cows in Krishna's Goloka pastimes, they come from two categories. They're Nitya Siddha associates. They never left the spiritual world. Or they're Sadhan Siddha. They're those who achieve final perfection by Sadhan Bhakti, like we're doing. Every day, following rules, regulations, chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees. Then, when you're perfected, yeah. And about these cows, whether they're Nitya Siddhas or Sadhan Siddhas, Vishwanath Thakavati Thakur, he speaks so nicely about them in his books. He said, they are like Chintamani jewels that fulfill any desire. Their mooing is the most beautiful poetry. Their happy calves are like pleasant summers. They always lift their ears to hear Krishna's flute. As they wander the earth, they resemble the bubbles of the milk ocean, the chuckles of Lord Shiva, and the infant children of moonlight. Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Bhava Ji, he has 900,000 cows, and they're divided into 108 groups, and they're four main colors, white, red, black, and yellow. And you mix the colors, you get some very interesting cows. And Krishna knows the name of each and every one of those 900,000 cows at Tirukkadamba. That's the Goshala of Nanda Baba. And he can produce the names of those cows from his flute. When he plays his flute, the name of the cow. He climbs the Kadamba tree at the end of the day, and he sits there and he plays the flute, and he has a string of pearls, and as each cow comes in, he pulls down a pearl like that. So 900,000, he finished his rounds. And he just says their horns are decorated with gold, their hooves are decorated with sapphires, their tails are decorated with peacock feathers, or it says sometimes bunches of pearls, and they wear necklaces of Navaratna, the nine stones like we use for astrology, or crown jewels between their horns. And the cows that accompany Krishna to the forest, they're personally picked by him. Like you, and you, and you, and you. So aware of their good fortune, when they go to the forest with Krishna every morning, they walk with their heads up. And their tails are erect, and they're smiling in all directions, and they cast happy glances at everyone they see. They're fully enlightened saints, as demonstrated by the fact that when Krishna takes a nap in the afternoon with his friends, everything becomes very quiet as the cows guard their beloved Krishna until he awakes. They form a circle around him, and they're very quiet. No munching grass, no mooing, just sleeping. And when Krishna wakes up, moo! There's a symphony of moos, which is as beautiful as any orchestra you've ever heard. So Krishna loves these cows. They are a very intricate part of his pastimes. His love with them, for them, is always increasing, and their love for him is always increasing. This we cannot understand. It's called Ananda Bhudi Bharavanam, the ever-increasing bliss of devotional service to the Lord. And in Nectar of Ocean, Prabhupada says, that is spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. He said the loving propensity expands like a beam of light. My father taught me that when I was a boy. He took me out one day and he said, son, you shine this light into the sky, the dark sky with the stars. Now that light's going to go on forever. How can it? What will stop it? It may hit an object and bounce off, then it goes in a different direction. It doesn't fade away. It keeps. That's a material analogy. So love of the Lord is that in a true principle. It's always going and it's always expanding. Kind of difficult for us to understand. Prabhupada said, it is impossible for us to understand the infinite happiness relished in bhakti because it is beyond the realm of anything we can experience in our finite existence. In the material world, love, if you want to call it that, it has a very short life expectancy. You look sometimes at the hand. So this is the heart, and this is the head line. I'm looking at right hand for boys, left hand for girls. And this is lifeline. See my lifeline? It's getting shorter. My lifeline's about 671 or 72, maybe. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. Like that. So, but if you see someone, sometimes you see the lines broken off here, then you don't say anything to that person. I saw some children the other day, and I was looking at their hands, and one line's broken at about 15 years. I didn't say anything. I said, oh no, very nice heart, very smart. What about that line? I said, oh, your hand's dirty, I can't see it. An astrologer doesn't tell like that. So sometimes there's very short life expectancy. So love in this world, as dear as it is to the heart, has a very short life expectancy. As evidenced by the fact that 3 out of 4 marriages end in divorce in this country. Because the love is very superficial. It's just, you know, based on the skin love, the body love. They don't know the soul. Different in Krishna consciousness. You can really love your partner. You can have a deep friendship, let us say, with your partner. So, but, and in the end, love is finished by death here. But there's no such thing as perfect love in this world. But in the love of the residents for Vrindavan, because there's no birth, there's no disease, there's no old age, there's no death. They're conspicuous by their absence in the spiritual world. The loving relationship goes on and on and on ad infinitum. So that's the love we're looking for. Love is the essence of everything. If you have everything but you don't have love, you're sad. If you have love, you have someone to love and you're poor, you can still be relatively happy. What to speak if you have Krishna's love? And he can fully satisfy your desire to love him. Just like he can fully satisfy everyone else. And if we don't have Krishna, what do? We try to replace that love in the material world with something else. A person or an object. But really, it never really satisfies you. Because once having experienced the real thing, you can never be happy with the imitation. Like if you know this Pierre Cardin, it's a Français, it's French, it's the French clothing line, Pierre Cardin, then you have this Pierre Cardin and you go to, you know, some other place and they have some cheap imitation. No, you know, you buy it because, you know, you're on vacation. Man, this isn't compared to my Pierre Cardin. So once you've had that love with Krishna, which we once had, and you come to this material world, I don't care how beautiful she is, or how handsome he is. It's all temporary. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the whole show is only temporary. You know, the beauty fades, the beauty of the flower wilts by the evening time, and the beauty of our youth, it goes away, and then you're looking in the mirror at this sad old face. What happened? if you're on the body flat. If you're Krishna conscious, hey, good. Now I don't have to worry about this body anymore. No one's going to look at me. I don't have to look at anybody else. Just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Old age is such a nice thing in Krishna consciousness. So we need love. So if we don't have Krishna, then we replace it with something. You know, we adopt something in this world. I often mentioned, and I used to say that in Vrindavan one time I saw a monkey. And obviously she didn't have any baby monkeys. Maybe she couldn't conceive or whatever. So there were some baby puppies. Just little baby puppies, just born. So I saw her come down and steal a puppy from the mother. There were six or seven puppies. And she took that puppy back in the tree. And I was living nearby. For 3 days she tried to nurse the puppy. And I guess it worked a little bit. But she was kind of ostracized by the other monkeys because it was too weird. So eventually she tried her best to love. She became a surrogate mother. But it was artificial. And eventually she dropped the puppy back on the ground. The puppy scampered back to its mother, but I think the mother rejected it, something. So like that, we try, you know, to have a surrogate lover in this world. And we think it's all perfect, it's going to work out, but no, what we're really looking for is Krishna. Krishna's the supreme lover, and he's waiting for us to love him in any of those ways that we want, even as the cows. So that will come one day, following in Prabhupada's footsteps. You'll never be disappointed. And I've said this a few times the last few days. One of my god sisters said, "Is it really true, Prabhupada, that Krishna, his pastimes, Vrindavan, sounds so extraordinaire? That God's a cowherd boy and he dances with the cowherd girls and he kills big snake demons and his brother throws asses into the trees and..." You know, it's like frolics all day, and is it really true? And Prabhupada became very moved, and he quiet, and he said, "Do you think that I would cheat you?" So all this nectar is waiting for us. All this nectar is being revealed. That's why Prabhupada took the time to translate the Krishna book, the summary of the 10th canto. Everything's there. He said, "One day this Krishna book will give solace to my devotees who are feeling vipralamba bhav." Right there he says in the Krishna book. My devotees who are feeling separation. This Krishna book will give them some solace in their separation. Like that. So this is all waiting for the sincere followers of Śrīla Prabhupāda and Lord Chaitanya. And I hope here that in this beautiful pastoral ground, like Vrindavan, and your peacocks are making so much noise I can't concentrate on my talk. But in this beautiful country setting with Radha Dhamadhar, those are the deities of Jiva Goswami. And the original Dhamadhar is only this big. He was hand-carved by Rupa Goswami as a gift to his nephew, Jiva. As a little, like this, little Dhamadhar. He's a little deity. And now he's residing in Jaipur. And you go to Radha Dhamadhar temple in Jaipur and you can see this hand-carved deity, Rupa Goswami. That was the deity to whom Jiva Goswami Prandanahe Dayaradha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe Jiva Goswami Prandanahe. Prandanahe means that deity is the life and soul of that Jiva Goswami, that devotee. So you also make Radha Damodar Prandanahe, Lord of your life, the sustenance of your life, his service with his beloved consort Srimati Radharani. And easily you can go back to Godhead. You don't need to live in these Kali Yuga cities. You take care of Krishna's cows. You take care of Krishna. You bathe, just like Mother Yashoda, you wake him up in the morning. You bathe him. You dress him. You feed him, little boy. You go out and you herd his cows. You grow the fruits and grains for him. And you do all these things just like they do in the spiritual world. This is a good place to practice sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means devotional service and preparation. You're preparing yourself to go back home, back to Godhead. And you have everything that necessary for doing it. I can see there's not a lot of devotees living here. And I've heard there's been some rough times. But, you know, it's a rough deal in this world. But, you know, those problems are small compared to the great opportunities you have here. Living in the personal association of God and his eternal consort. Deities whom His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada saw and loved and worshipped and were so much part of the history of this movement. Now you have a beautiful temple room. This is one of the most beautiful temple rooms I've seen in ISKCON, actually. It's simple, but very elegant at the same time. And perfectly appropriate for a country ashram, lots of wood and so forth. And the, you know, it's not one of those big silver thrones, shringasans like we see, but it's like Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everything is very simple, but the most important element is bhakti. So learn to love these devotees, these deities and these devotees, these brajbasis who live here with your heart and soul, and you have every chance to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. Well, I thank all of you very much. I can't stay long. I've got a very early flight tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, and they have a room for me in Harrisburg. I have to be at the airport at 4. We have to get up at 2. So you know, this is the life of a traveling preacher. I can't stay very long, but I have enjoyed this brief association, momentary association of all of you, and I consider this a high point on my trip in America to see Shishirada Damodar. They're beautifully, like golden-like forms. They're brass deities, but they look like gold. So this is a high point, and they say that this is actually my last stop in America. This is my last talk. I'm moving on now to going to Europe, a tour of England, and there's a saying that you should always finish everything on a high note. So this is definitely taking darshan of your deities and seeing your beautiful community and all these wonderful devotees. This is definitely a high note and something that I will remember for a long time after leaving this country of America and traveling to different parts of the world. So with that, we will conclude and move on to another destination. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shishirada Dhammadhara ki. Hare Krishna.